the wedding feast. Fresh invitations to the marriage of Zeus and Hera, hastily amended to include the wedding of Aphrodite and Hephaestus, were now sent out. All who were summoned to the double wedding accepted with excited pleasure. Such a thing had never been known in all creation, but then creation had never known a goddess like Hera, with her great sense of propriety and intense feeling for order, ceremony, and familial honour. Nymphs of the trees, rivers, breezes, mountains, and oceans talked of nothing but the wedding for weeks. The wood spirits, too, the lustful fauns, as well as the tough, barky dryads and hamadryads, made their way to Olympus from every forest, wood, copse, and spinney. In celebration of the nuptials, Zeus went so far as to pardon some of the Titans. Not Atlas, of course, nor the long-exiled Cronos, but the least threatening and violent, Iapetus and Hyperion amongst them, were forgiven and allowed their freedom. To add zest to an already frenziedly anticipated occasion, Zeus issued a challenge. Whoever could devise the best and most original wedding dish could ask any favour of him. The lesser immortals and animals went wild with excitement at this chance to shine. Mice, frogs, lizards, bears, beavers and birds all put together recipes to bring before Zeus and Hera. There were cakes, buns, biscuits, soups, eel-skin tureens, porridges made of moss and mould. All things sweet, salty, bitter, sour and savoury were placed on small trestle tables for the king and queen of the gods to judge. But first, the marriages took place. Aphrodite and Hephaestus were wed, then Hera and Zeus. The service was conducted with charming simplicity by Hestia, who anointed each of the four with aromatic oils, wafting perfumed smoke and singing in a low, musical voice hymns to companionship, service, and mutual respect. Family and guests looked on, many of them sniffing and blinking back tears. A fawn, who made the tactless error of declaring between gulping sobs that Aphrodite and Hephaestus made a lovely couple, was given a swift and violent kick in the back of his legs by a glowering Ares. That official business over, it was time to find the winner of the great culinary competition. Zeus and Hera walked slowly up and down, sniffing, tapping, prodding, tasting, sipping, and licking their way round the entries like professional food critics. The competitors behind the trestle tables held their breath. When Zeus nodded approvingly at a wobbling hibiscus, beetle, and walnut jelly, its creator, a young heron called Margaret, gave a single shriek of excitement and fainted clean away. But hers was not the prize. The winner was the seemingly modest submission of a shy little creature named Melissa. She offered up for the gods a very small amphora filled almost to the top with a sticky, amber-coloured goo. "Ah, yes," said Zeus, dipping his finger in with a knowledgeable and approving nod. "Pine resin." The Greeks still add pine resin to wine, call it retsina, and offer it to visitors. No one knows why a normally kind and hospitable people should do such a thing. It tastes like what it essentially is, the kind of turpentine artists use to thin their oil paints. I love it. But it was not pine resin in the little jar. It was something quite other. Something new. Something gloopy, without being unguent. Slow-moving, without being stodgy. Sweet, without being cloying. And perfumed with a flavour that drove the senses wild with pleasure. Melissa's name for it was honey. It seemed to Hera that when she took a spoonful, the scent of the loveliest meadow flowers and mountain herbs danced and hummed inside her mouth. Zeus licked the back of the spoon and mmmed with delight. Husband and wife glanced at each other and nodded. No more consultation was needed. The standard has been agreeably high this year, said Zeus. Well done, all. But Queen Hera and I are agreed. This honey takes first place. The other creatures, trying to hide their disappointment, put on sporting expressions of pleasure as they formed a large semicircle and watched Melissa zip forward to claim her prize, a wish that was to be granted by the King of the Gods himself. Melissa was very small and looked even smaller as she approached the winner's podium. She flew, for she could fly, despite looking as if she might be too bulky and bulgy in the wrong places to be able to, as close to Zeus's face as she dared, and buzzed to him these words.
Dreadlord, I am pleased that you like my delicacy, but I must tell you it is quite extraordinarily hard to make. I have to zoom from flower to flower to collect the nectar deep inside. Only the smallest amount can be sucked up and carried. All day, for as long as ether grants me light to see by, I must sip, search, and return to the nest, sip, search, and return to the nest, often travelling huge distances. Even then, at day's end, I will only have the tiniest possible fraction of nectar to convert, using my secret process, into the confection that has so pleased you. Just that little amphora you are holding took me 4.5 weeks to fill, so you can see that this is a most labour-intensive business. The smell of honey is so intense, so ravishing, and so irresistible that many come to raid my nest. They do so with impunity, for I am small, and all I can do is buzz angrily at them and urge them to leave. Imagine! A whole week's work can be lost with just one swipe of a weasel's paw or one lick of a bear cub's tongue. Only let me have a weapon, Your Majesty. You have equipped the scorpion, who makes no foodstuffs, with a deadly sting, while the snake, who does nothing but bask in the sun all day, him you granted a venomous bite. Give me, great Zeus, such a weapon, a fatal one, that will kill any who dare to steal my precious stock of honey.
Zeus's eyebrows gathered in a dark and troubled frown. There was a rumbling in the sky, and black clouds began to bank and billow above. The animals fidgeted, watching in alarm as the light dimmed and frets of wind flapped the festive tablecloths and ruffled the goddess's shimmering gowns. Zeus, like most busy and important beings, had no patience with fussiness or self-pity. This silly, flighty dot of a creature was demanding a mortal sting, was she? Well, he would show her. "Wretched insect!" he thundered. "How dare you demand so monstrous a prize? A talent like yours should be shared out, not jealously hoarded. Not only shall I deny your request," Melissa broke in with a high-pitched drone of displeasure. "But you gave your word!" There was a gasp from the whole assembly. Could she really have dared to interrupt Zeus and question his honour? I beg your pardon, but I think you'll find that I proclaimed, growled the god with an icy self-restraint that was far more terrifying than any outburst of temper, that the winner could ask any favour. I made no promise that such a request would be granted. Melissa's wings drooped in disappointment. Of course, this is not the last time we shall witness Zeus playing with oaths and wriggling out of commitments. However, Zeus said, raising his hand, from this moment forward, the gathering of your honey will be made easier by my decree that you shall not labour alone. You will be queen of a whole colony, a whole swarm of productive subjects. Furthermore, I shall grant you a fatal and painful sting. Melissa's wings pricked up perkily, but, Zeus continued, while it will bring a sharp pain to the one you sting, it is to you and your kind that it will bring death. So let it be. Another rumble of thunder, and the sky began to clear. Immediately, Melissa felt a strange movement inside her. She looked down and saw that something long, thin, and sharp, like a lance, was pushing its way out of the end of her abdomen. It was a sting, as finely pointed as a needle, but ending in a wicked and terrible barb. With a wild twitch, a buzz, and a final droning wail, she flew away. Melissa is still part of the scientific name for the honeybee, and it is true that its sting is a suicide weapon of last resort. If it should try to fly away after the barb has lodged in the pierced skin of its victim, a bee will tug out its own insides in the effort of freeing itself. The much less useful and diligent wasp has no such barb, and can administer its sting as many times as it likes without danger to itself. But wasps, annoying as they are, never made selfish demands of the gods. It is also true that science calls the order of insects to which the honeybee belongs Hymenoptera, which is Greek for wedding wings.